All right, yeah, so I'm Matt. Thank you very much, Ziv, and everybody for coming today and putting it together and the wonderful lunch and
watch your mouth.
Yeah, I'm already thinking about it, but thank you, though. Yeah, so this is going to be a clean one. Definitely. I'm Matt. I run something called Akia's, which is sort of what it sounds like. Okay, thank you. I am Matt. I run Akia's, which is probably what you think it is, but much more. So it's A to Z Akia service is what we do, and nobody knows what that is. But let's get into that in a moment. I want to review some numbers, because everybody here wants more numbers, right? So you probably have seen this before. I reformatted it. This is actually on from our website, but this is based off of the recently released Japanese government's census of property, which was released last year in 2023. And so, oh my goodness, wow, there's more and more Akia. Amazing, we all knew that. But that's due to what? Like, a few reasons, right? There's population decline, which itself has a number of reasons behind it that we won't get into. And there's also, you know, what I call like the standard model for real estate, and I mean, most business practices have kind of a standard model and a non-standard model, right? And so, at least for Japan, standard real estate kind of looks like Tokyo. Like, that's it, right? And so that has, you know, it's certain, I always use the word calculus to it. Like, the way that Tokyo real estate works, there's an equation for it, right? It's kind of multifaceted and whatnot, but there's, like, a set way that you do it. And that model is really good for Tokyo. Maybe not really good, but, like, it's good enough. It works. And it's, like, it's designed for what Tokyo, what metro areas are. It's not designed for rural areas. It doesn't work very well out there. However, the same exact model is being applied out there as it is here. And so to me, it's no wonder that, oh my goodness, wow, there's more Akia. Why could that possibly be? It's because the business model doesn't work, okay? Well, that's not the only reason, but that's like a big one. So yeah, there's Akia numbers. What hasn't been talked about so much, though, is the build rate numbers. I don't think I've heard this come up yet, right? So we've got Akia increasing in numbers for a number of reasons. We have a population decline happening as well. But then also, at the same time, we've got since, what, 19, I think this is actually 1983? Yeah, this one. New builds are actually going down. There's, obviously, it's still a positive number, but it's lesser and lesser and lesser. And so, I don't know, I can't make an exact prediction, but sometime in the nearish future, it's feasible that not only will we have steadily increasing numbers of Akia, we're also going to see fewer and fewer and fewer new builds. So that model of what real estate is and what you buy necessarily will have to reflect that reality that we're relatively quickly approaching. So I think that's kind of neat, right? What's my next slide? Oh, yeah, so that's kind of a precursor to what we do, right? There's a whole bunch of stuff out there that nobody has accessed or really bothered analyzing. And so we go out and do that, right? And we do that a few ways in partnership with a bunch of folks. Yamamoto Property Advisory, number one, is right here in the house. Helps us with actual brokerage so we can make those purchases happen. We also are partnered with MailMate, who manages, number one, mail, which sounds maybe not all that interesting, but it is for people who live outside of the country and need to pay bills and taxes and things like that. So even if you don't live in Japan, with MailMate, you can actually make all of that work. And then also, we're partnered with Haneda International, who is a legal firm that helps you set up Kabushiki Kaisha, or like GKs, KKs, whatever. So if you want to start a business in Japan, they get it done. All of that wrapped together is like a really nice package and stuff. So if you find an Akia and you want to do business, like, we can help you do that. But more importantly, goats. Let's talk about goats. This is Michan, and I don't like him very much. He's about 5 years old, and for the first 2 years of his life, he was very much alone. And this is why he's so cantankerous. But he also represents a very interesting opportunity, which is goat rental services. In Yugawara, and I'm getting to a point, one stop up from Atami is a place called Yugawara, and it's a nice little town and everything, and a good friend of mine, his name's Masato, he's bought a number of Akia and turned them into interesting businesses, but he also owns a number of goats, and I've actually accompanied him all the way up to Yamagata in a K truck to go get a goat in the mountains, and we brought him back down, right? And what he ended up realizing is Yugawara, there's a whole bunch of Akiya, but there's also a whole bunch of Akichi, and especially a vacant farmland that still has an owner. They just can't do anything with it because it's like one 80-year-old person, right? And they've got hectares and hectares of land. And so it gets overgrown, and then it gets worse and worse and worse and worse, right? But goats eat everything. And so what Masato-san has done is gotten a bunch of goats, and now he charges all of these people who have overgrown, semi-abandoned land to get the goats onto that property, eat everything, and then they can start using it again, right? Which is just like a really wacky business. And that's precisely what I'm interested with Akiya, right? If you want to do standard stuff, if you want like financial success and, you know, pretty decent returns and stuff, Tokyo's the place to be, baby. This is it, right? But if you want lifestyle, if you want to do interesting things, if you want to have fun, enjoy stuff, explore, you know, getting out of the standard mode of operation is like a pretty good way to do it. And that's what we really specialize in with Akiyas, is like, if you want to talk to me about massive returns and stuff, wrong guy. don't talk to me about it, right? But if you want to go do some fun stuff with your, you know, whatever money it is that you do have and are willing to spend, we can totally help you with that. And as an example of the sort of stuff that I do, in addition to Akiyas, I also run Kala Music, which is a music tourism. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. Which is music tourism for like underground music in Japan. So if you're a fan of like death metal and stuff, but you live in Seattle and want to come over to Japan to go see death metal bands, I can help you do that. I also run a consultancy called MK Ultraman, which is a portmanteau of MK Ultra, which if you know what that is, you're already on the right track. And then Ultraman, which is obviously Japan kind of like culture and stuff. So put those two things together and like that's sort of what I do. So I advise Centrum, which is a Web3 development community based in Shibuya, the Delphi Network, which is an executive like think tank kind of thing. And then also Mersive down in Osaka, which is like digital experience development. I also run vintage vinyl subscription box service called JP Vinyl, which mostly goes towards the US right now. And then I'm also a guitarist for the touring band Worship Pain. Yes, really cool. And so what I really want to talk about today, though, is not really any more numbers. I just want to talk about like cool stuff that you can do and that I've seen and that I've done. So with regards to like experiences, like we don't just sell those things. We need you to find what you want. Because some people like, I don't know, tea ceremony. I'm not a big fan, but you know, that's not my thing. If it's your thing, cool. Let's work with you on figuring out where it is that you can do tea ceremony stuff. If you like scuba diving, if you like, you know, all of these different things, people have particular interests that need to be accounted for when you're looking for property. It's not just the property itself that's valuable. It's, again, the life that comes with it. What can you do around it? Who are you going to be interacting with? How close is it to resources? This, that, and the other thing. If you don't consider that when you buy something, and all you're thinking about is the house or the building itself, you're not going to lose, but you will like lose out a little bit anyway on opportunities that are available to you. And so here are some examples. This one's really fun. So over in Sagamihara, his name's Kai, and he runs something called Vanguard Backpackers. For 10 years, he was a boxer on the international boxing circuit, right? He's a real good guy. He inherited his grandfather's Akiya, and when he came back to Japan, you know, he wanted to quit boxing, but he still likes doing that. So with his Akiya, he turned it into, well, number one, a share house. But it's also in the middle of the forest, a boxing training gym, which is extremely unique. I've never come across that before. And here's me doing that when I had a very large beard. Actually, it got much bigger. Here we go. Wait. There we go. In the middle of the forest, like you can train with a boxer. He also built a sauna right next to the river nearby. And so for like extremely cheap, you can just like hang out with this guy and get in shape and like, I don't know, have a good time and like get inspiration from him and stuff. So that's a cool one. What's this? Oh, so out in Gunma in Takasaki, another friend of mine, a client, he also bought an Akiya, and he's a big rope climber. And the reason that he chose Takasaki specifically was for this piece of rock, right? He said to us, oh my God, that is my favorite cliff to climb in all of Japan. If you can find me an Akiya near there, I will buy it. I don't care what it is. Give me access to this. Crag is the word that he uses, C-R-A-G, right? This is the first time I ever went mountain rope climbing. It was terrifying. I still do it, and I'm still incredibly scared of it.
Is that a part of your job description? You actually have to join whatever crazy activity?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Right. So that I can tell everybody else that, oh my God, you can actually do this. Get out there and have fun. So that's in winter, and this is in summer. This was awful, actually. We didn't check the weather report, so we got stuck in a typhoon on the descent, which was the worst. And so he bought a pretty big one that was a very serious fixer-upper. But he's done it 7 times, both in the U.S. as well as Japan. One thing that I have to say to a lot of people who haven't done this before, dude, easy wins. Like, don't get so excited that you just buy the weirdest, wackiest thing out there, right? Start slow, step by step, kind of learn what you're doing, and then you can go for the DIY projects. But if you start at such a high level, you're probably going to fail. I don't care how cool you think you are, right? Make it easy for yourself to succeed. This guy's done it before, so I was totally cool with getting him a pretty weirdo one. But he did, and now he has a rope climbing gym, or not gym, like a weekend getaway kind of service thing, which is fun. What's this? Oh, this one's good. So, there's a genre of music called grindcore. And this is, hold on. Maybe you can wait for it. So yeah, this is at a mountaintop temple last year in Nagano. And this was fun because, so it's kind of a long story. There is a venue in Yokohama called El Puente, which is a very like important venue in the underground music scene here. And one of the bands that plays there a whole bunch, their guitarist's younger cousin is the head priest at this mountaintop temple, and he really likes heavy metal. And so we carted a whole bunch of amps and drum kits and PAs and everything up to this Shinto temple in the middle of nowhere, Nagano, and had a really good time. So that's not necessarily an Akiya, but it's kind of Akiya adjacent, which is to say, like, oh, here's a weird thing that you could do in the middle of nowhere. What's next? Oh, here we go. That's a hakubishin. Does anybody know what's hakubishin in English? It's like a weasel or something. This is one of my favorite Akiya stories, actually, though. So, in Yugawara, there were 3 butcher sisters in Tokyo, and they figured out that in Atami and Yugawara, every year there's an annual cull of deer and boar, because they're a big nuisance, right? And so they bought and it's like 10,000 yen per kill. But they never did anything with the dead bodies, they just had carcasses. And so these butcher sisters were like, wait a minute, the government's paying them already to kill these things. We can just get free meat and then sell it. And so they bought an Akiya, they turned it into a butcher shop. Now it's called Yamano Megumi, and they're my butchers, and I love them. They're great. And so every once in a while they get weird stuff, and so we bought this like 2 years ago or something, the hakubishin. But anyway, you can be a butcher in an Akiya. And then most interestingly, most recently anyway, friend of a friend had a decent amount of money and ended up buying an entire akiryokan. And needed somebody to like go in there and like fix it up and clean it and kind of manage it and everything. And so now I'm down living half the time anyway in Yugawara, literally in a ryokan, which is really cool. I can actually say like, oh, hey, you want to come to my, well, not my, but because I don't own it. But yeah, I'm in a ryokan, which is neat. So that's just me running around, right? But I also want to get people doing stuff. And what I've noticed is, especially within major like cities, most people just think of, like, I always call it not Tokyo, right? If you say, like, rural Japan or Inaka, that basically just means, oh, it's not Tokyo, right? And a lot of folks, what, have, like, kind of a blanket understanding of what that is, which isn't a very good understanding. And so they don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know who to talk to. They don't know how much it costs. They don't know how to get there, all this stuff. And so they don't go. And so the easiest way to get in there is to just give people ideas. And so one thing that you can do, you can subscribe to get some ideas if you want, is just show people the way. What do you eat? Where do you stay? How do you get there? Right, those three major things. So I went down to Shimane, which I had never been to. Nice place, difficult to get to, I'll give it that, but it's also kind of an adventure. So go to Shimane and have some fun there. Also done, Izumi is a hot spot. If you like Chiba, look at Izumi. Right now, if you want to get an Akiya out there, I see a lot of really interesting things on the market right now. So it's like the Onjuku area. Obviously, it has the ocean and stuff. And it's pretty accessible. It's not so far south in Minami-Boso that it's like difficult to get to, but it's a little bit out there. And then recently, too, I've been digging into the Tokyo Islands. This one's interesting. So, like, you guys know where Shimoda is, right? Yeah, down the tip, the southern tip of the Izu Peninsula. On a good day, you'll spend like 3 hours driving there. There'll be a little bit of traffic and whatnot, but normally it's like 5 hours and you're just stuck in traffic the whole time and it sucks. I like Shimoda. It's a nice place if you can get there. But getting there is kind of a pain, and so I'm a little bit like mixed on it. It's like 3 to 5 hours, right? Hachijojima from Haneda Airport is 45 minutes by plane. And you can get the same beach experience, in fact, probably quite better, because it's not very popular yet. Whereas Shimoda is kind of full of, you know, everybody and their mother. So yeah, if you want to have that kind of experience, guess what? You can just go to the airport and spend 40 minutes on a plane, and suddenly you're in this pristine, you know, island nation sort of thing, having a good time. So that's one other thing that we do. But then also sometimes people like to have their hand held. And so we also put together like exclusive weekend retreats to pick people out and like experience rural Japan as well as Akiya. This one, do I have a slide for this? Oh, all right, I guess we can start with this one. So this is out in Ashigara. Friends of mine, they bought a tent sauna right here. And then they don't own the waterfall, but it is near a waterfall. And so, yeah, we just like take people out there and basically have just like a sauna waterfall day and, you know, show them Akiya at the same time, which people enjoy, seem to anyway. What's this? Oh, we also do scuba trips. And this was just like really pretty. This is what, 2 months ago? Last month, I think, down in Nibikawa, which is near Izu. Yeah, literally there are two cabins that I can rent and there's a scuba shop next door. And then we did just like, I did a little bit of research on where Akiya in the area are and just kind of like walked past them. Didn't do any visitations or anything like that. But yeah, so you can go scuba diving and check out Akiya at the same time if you want, which was a good time. And then, I'm probably going through this way too quickly. Come on, here we go. Ah, okay, so that first slide is also at the same place. This one's super duper interesting because there was a really big fire in a village that somebody set accidentally. And they burned down the village, more or less, which really destroyed this guy's social capital. Like, don't burn down your own house and definitely don't burn down other people's houses. You will never recover from that. So it's kind of sad. But a friend of mine figured this out about 10 years ago and realized that, oh my goodness, it's not just an Akiya. It's plural. It's a village that I can get. And so he ended up acquiring most of the land in that burned down village. He's done quite a bit with it. One is in the background here. That's a kominka that he did, yakisugi? So he like the charred wood sort of thing. He's built everything. There's a sauna right behind us. What else? Anyway, like, yeah, it's real cool. And he does like sustainable farming, which he's made a business out of successfully. And yeah, it's just like super inspirational. This one's fun. So, like I was saying about Tokyo, though, a lot of people just like don't even want to leave Tokyo. They don't know how to, which means I need to access them while they're in Tokyo, right? And then get my hooks in them and then pull them out of the city. And so we also throw like DJ, like concert parties, which actually this one was last Friday. We did the second one over in Hatagaya. And so that's basically just like, hey, come party with us and like think about Akiya at the same time. And if that's what you want to do, then sure, we can help you out. So this one's very unexpected and kind of accidental, but I'm actually really happy that we're doing this because I think it's just totally off anybody's radar. of what to do. And then, I think this is my last slide, but out in the northern reaches of Kyoto, in an extremely rural area called Miyama, which is like beautiful mountains, there's this beautiful Kayabukiyane that we're now representing. And one thing that is really frustrating for Akiya seller's agent is like travel and visitations and things like that. And the standard market dictates kind of what a visitation is. So for example, or the example that I generally use is a lot of properties in Shimoda that I previously mentioned are actually managed by Atami agents, which means if you want to get a visitation, that agent in Atami needs to go all the way down to Shimoda, and it's like, you know, a 5,000 yen or $5,000 Akiya. Like, that's 4 hours there and back, however much that costs with gas. Even if they sell the thing, why would they bother doing that? And so that model doesn't really work, but what we're starting to do, and this is the first one, if you're interested, let me know, is actually like Akiya tourism, overnights for potential buyers. This thing is about a little over 2 hours north of Kyoto, like I said, extremely rural. So if you want to get a visitation of it, you're going to be going pretty far no matter what. You might as well have a nice meal, hike around a little bit, see what it's like to sleep there, play in the river that's right next door, and do all of these things, such that then, once you're done, you can say, you know what, that was a really good experience. I like that property a lot. I think I'm going to buy it. So, yeah, that's part of our sales funnel as well. Which brings me to the end. I'm probably like entirely too fast with all of this stuff, but Akiya are really cool, and everybody loves talking about it, but like, stop daydreaming. Get out there and just like go do stuff. And like, sometimes you'll cut your finger or whatever, or get dirty. Doesn't matter. You won't die. Right? And then you'll figure out, oh my God, actually, I really enjoy doing this thing in this area versus that area and everywhere else. This is the one that I really like and like really jives with who I am and what I want to do and what I enjoy. So maybe this is where I should buy an Akiya. And I think that's the end. So, questions?
Before Q&A, can I just add something? You're probably aware of that, sure. But in case people are not, last July, a new legislation came into effect allowing real estate agents to charge a minimum commission, even if the property is 5,000 bucks or whatever the case may be. So if it's under 330,000 yen, including tax, they will still, if the official commission is under that, they are still allowed to charge that as a minimum. That's an incentive to get them a little bit more motivated to actually move those older properties, because they obviously have been going, like Matt was saying, four hours back and forth to sell something for a commission of $1,000 or $500, whatever it is. Hopefully that'll make a change, but factor that into your calculation. Sorry, Q&A. I'll
go for it. Any questions? Yeah, we've poked around, and we've done research in the area. We haven't yet gone all the way down to Kyushu to do stuff, but yeah, I have had clients that are paying for research to be done, so there's opportunity there.
I'm from Nagasaki.
Oh, okay, great.
There are many, many great Akiyas there.
Yeah.
Nagasaki Prefecture has mountains, islands, and water, the beautiful sea that foreign people really don't know yet.
Yeah.
We should really look into it.
Yeah, if you have any suggestions or recommendations or even connections, I'd be happy to discuss.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll talk to you.
Yeah, later. Please. Thank you.
Questions, hands? Yes.
Thanks, Matt.
Sure thing.
If you could own an Akiya anywhere in Japan, what would be your dream area to have one?
That's a really tough question, and it's a good one because it also brings up something that I don't think I forgot about, but I think is very important. So I mentioned Yugawara, right? I like that spot a lot. It's really good for me. Like what I want, what I find interesting and everything, it's nice. I find, though, that very, very, very often when exploring, especially rural Japan, foreign, Japanese, both alike, people tend to really like where they are and think that it's the best thing for everybody, regardless of what it is they actually enjoy. And so, Romain, like you were saying, my the answer that I want to say is, well, Yugawara, duh. I'm already there. It's wonderful. But I feel like I'm a little bit too proud about that, and I'm not thinking critically on the matter. I can tell you I'm really excited about the Tokyo Islands, but that's like new exploration, so I can't say. I think Shizuoka is quite nice, actually. Proximity, access, resources, kind of, it's close enough to Tokyo, and it's also got like mountains and hiking, and I mean, it doesn't really have skiing, but I'm not much of a skier anyway. So, yeah, I don't know, like Yugawara.
Someone on the chat is asking what you think about Kagoshima.
Not much, because I've never explored it, so I can't really say anything. Sorry.
More questions, more hands. Going once, going twice. Yes.
I wanted to know, what is the true cost of buying an IKEA?
Super good question. It I feel like every answer these days, now, well, it depends. I'll tell you this, don't buy cheap stuff. And by cheap, I mean probably bare minimum sub 12 million or so. I mean, it depends on the area and whatnot. But the fact of the matter is, unless, again, like I've had clients who like DIY stuff. If that's what you want to do, cool, let's go cheap. It's fine. So long as you know what you're getting into. I'll get paid anyway. It doesn't matter. but from a strictly like keys in hand, open the door and dot, 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 like what happens? If you want to get in there and sleep and go to bed and cook and like basically use it like it's supposed to be used without much cleanup or renovation or anything like that, I'd say if you start with about 12 mil, 15 mil would be, I mean, the more obviously the better, but yeah, from a bare minimum point of view, it used to be around 8, like Atami was quite affordable up until, I mean, it's still not bad. But yeah, it used to be like 5 to 8 was good in Atami, but I'd say now, just to make sure you get what you can use, and you don't have to worry about it, and it's just good enough, at least, start with, yeah, try to budget for like 12 mil or so. I think it's keys for the purchase price and everything involved with up until you buy it, including the purchase, everything after is separate. But yeah, 12 mil is probably a good budget to start with.
Does that include insurance for the house, and that would be separate?
That'd probably be separate, but again, like during the process, we figure out exactly what needs to be done for your specific use case. So it might be part of that, it might not, but that's definitely like something to think about while purchase or while considering a purchase.
Insurance is pretty cheap in Japan for a typical old family home. A 5-year policy would be less than 5,000 US usually. So maybe 1,000 a year, worst case, unless it's like a huge. Questions again? Going once? Yes.
Hi. From a financing perspective, do people usually do like just pure cash, or there's no financing opportunities?
There could be.
Like.
But not often.
Okay.
We should point out that if you're setting up a business, you've got some experience running that kind of business and a reasonable business plan, and you've been a resident of Japan earning some kind of income in Japan, and you can show the bank why the business might succeed. Yeah. That's a different story. But as a mortgage kind of buyer, IKEA kind of thing, no, probably not. Yes. Further questions? Yes.
When you're looking at buying an IKEA, are the families selling off the land around the building, or
sometimes.
Is it oftentimes easy to get some land with that building as well?
Yeah, that's not uncommon. That'll cost more money, right? And so it depends. Oh, there's that phrase again. It depends on your circumstance, not necessarily even financial, but like that basically just makes more work. And so if you have the capacity to do more work. And also management-wise, I also highly advise, like, know what you're buying and don't bite off more than you can chew. And so, yeah, is there land available around the thing that you just purchased? Sure. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to get the goats? Because then it works. But yeah.
And don't try to trick the farmer unions. People buy farmland and say, yes, 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 we'll be farmers and members of local farmer unions. That's the worst possible way to get on the bad side of your neighbors. I would not advise it.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up, though. Another really interesting point that I occasionally run across, people want to buy farmland, right? And they're like, oh boy, I'm going to be a farmer and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, you're not. Like, don't kid yourself. But, you know, people got a green thumb. And they kind of figure, like, all right, Akichi land, like, I want a garden, maybe I should buy some ag land, but then there's licensing, and they're not a farmer, and they get all, like, depressed and stuff. In Yugawara, for example, I've got, like, 5 farm plots, like, garden plots. And you know how you do that? You just become friends with the farmer who's already licensed and got the goats to free up some land. And you say, hey, you know, I've got a few tomato plants that I kind of want to put in there and some, like, onions and whatnot. Can I just use that? And then they say, well, yeah, I'm not doing anything with it. Don't break it, but, like, go garden to your heart's content. So, like, which brings up another point, if I'm going to riff for a minute, is kind of like I was just saying about, like, know what you need, know what you want. Sometimes ownership isn't what you need. Sometimes you just, for example, need somebody who already bought an Akiya and made it into a cool thing, and you can just go there and be like, hey, dude, I'm here again. Can I hang out? And they'll be like, yeah, come on in, dude. And it's fine, right? So same thing goes with, like, the land thing and gardening and stuff. Like, sometimes you just need somebody to be nice, right? And oftentimes, too, especially out in rural areas, there's a lot of really nice people, right? Sometimes they're a little bit shy or kind of insular or whatnot, but, you know, make the effort, show up every once in a while, you know, buy him a beer, whatever. You can get a lot done without making any purchases whatsoever. So, but still, if you want to buy something, like, please.
Any more questions to Matt? Any hands? Quickly check the chat. Wait. Are there many Akiyas available in Yamaguchi? They seem rare to find. I have people looking who can't find there. And are there any Akiyas near ski resorts, such as those in Nagano?
Oh, for sure. I do need to caution against Yukiguni, though. Like, not that it's bad, but that comes with added responsibility. If you're not going to manage the snowfall, your roof's going to collapse and everybody's going to hate you. So, like, be serious about Yukiguni. Honestly, I sort of feel like that's like level 2 or level 3. Because what Japan, at least I think, really needs is easy winds, right? And it's not that Yamaguchi or like all these other spots, like that's added difficulty that makes it maybe not likely, but at least more likely that you'll fail, whatever that means, right? And so identifying the spots that have the resources, have the access, maybe don't have heavy snowfall, like this, that, and the other thing, those are the places, granted, you know, we work nationwide, but I really want to point out the necessity of like critical analysis, especially with regards to logistics, when it comes to buying any property anywhere. Because the fact is, like I was mentioning Shizuoka, that's kind of ticking most of the boxes. Yamaguchi, maybe not yet, sort of thing, right? And so that's not to say that they're bad. It's just like from a strictly objective point of view, being able to identify the spots where, okay, now we're in business and everything's good is important, I guess.
In Nagano, Niigata, other ski type, onsen type areas, we often advise to people who have that aspiration to be in that area to maybe get a property on resort land.
Yep.
And pay your monthly dues and make sure that somebody's doing the snow clearing and somebody's wiping the sidewalk and the trash is being collected. Mm-hmm. The remote management in rural areas can be very difficult if you're not there all year.
Yeah. So good question.
All right. Thank you very much.